Good morning, all. It may be dogwood winter outside, but I can feel the warmth of your fellowship right in here. We welcome all of the visitors and those of you who are online. We welcome you as well. As we begin our service, I'd like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Holy Word of God, bless chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort which with we ourselves are comforted by God. And now Josh Johnson, our youth minister, will lead us in our song service. Josh?
If it's convenient for you, let's stand as we sing, Looking to Thee. We'll sing all three verses. Looking to
Thee, trusting that grace along the way, knowing that Thou will safely keep all that is thine.
This one will be on the overhead only.
Lord,
Now we'll try our new song, Behold Our God. And if it's convenient for you, let's stand once more. Following this song, we'll be led in a word of prayer.
This time we'll go to the Lord in prayer. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, Lord, we give you thanks for allowing us to gather here today Lord, we look outside and we see the refreshing of the earth. We see all things coming new. Father, thank you for giving us such a place to gather as a church, as a people. We pray, Lord, that the messages we receive today we will place upon our heart. We ask, God, that we are able to take what we learn and bring it to the world. We ask, Father, that the lives that we live, the messages that we give out, is an example of you living in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that what we do will make people seek you out even more. Father, there are so many people out there that do not know the gift of your Son, Jesus. And we pray, God, that paths will open up for us to see them, to provide a ministry to them, that they will get to know you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have the heart of an evangelist, that we may see people in need of you in their lives. Grant us, Lord, the words to say, the wisdom to answer any questions that they may have for us, that they will be brought to you and understand the meaning of ever-living life. Father, there are so many people right now in this world who are suffering. There are people who are caught in areas of war. There are people who are suffering from poverty, people who have fears and frustrations, those who have lost loved ones, and those who just don't feel like they have a way out. We pray, Father, that you would bring peace to the world. We pray, Father, that those who are living in these war zones will find comfort, will find shelter. We pray, Lord, for those that are in power to make better decisions based on your guidance. We pray, Lord, for the paths to open up for those who need assistance, that they can find it. And we pray, Lord, that those of us who are in a position to be able to provide that assistance do so willingly. Father, please comfort those who are hurting right now. Provide them the peace that only you can provide. Father, we pray that we will not take any time that we have left for granted. Please, God, forgive us for all the sins that we've committed against you, even the ones that we have forgotten. And we pray, Lord, for the forgiving heart to forgive those who come to us asking for forgiveness. Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, for the sacrifice that was done on our behalf, even though we are so unworthy. Help us, Lord, not to take that gift for granted. And it is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
If you are using a hymn book, you mark at this time number 453. This is our song of encouragement, Love Lifted Me, number 453. Once you have that mark, turn over to number 528. We'll sing this song before our scripture reading and lesson this morning, number 528. I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know.
I know that my Redeemer. open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. If you're participating in the children's training, feel free to leave the assembly now. Exodus chapter 24, verses 3 through 7. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. Verse 6. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient."
Our singing this morning has been wonderful. It's been focused on heaven, on God. And I wonder, is it possible that we could think too much about heaven? I don't know about that, but I know we can think too little about heaven. We can get caught up in the things of this world and forget that we are people of God, that there is a destination toward which we're heading. And so it's really good for us to sing songs like we've sung this morning, and to know that one day we're going to walk those streets, and one day we're going to say, "Behold, our God." We'll see him with our eyes, and it will be the most electric moment of our existence to see our Savior, our Lord, our Spirit. What a moment. What a moment that will be. So it's been a good day already, a great day, and I'm tempted to say, let's just sing. Let's do nothing but sing today. But then we've got the Word of God. God has spoken to us through his Word. That's why we're here now, to hear what he has said. And so that too is our worship of God, to listen to what God has said. We're so glad you're with us today. We've got visitors with us, as is always the case. Some of them here for an event happening up in Bristol, some little thing that goes on about this time every year. So glad to have you with us. And all of you regulars, we're glad to see you with us as well. And everybody online, welcome. We're glad that you have joined us as well. Got a lot of things coming up in the near future. Next weekend is when our young people go down to Nashville and participate in Lads to Leaders. And we've got a crew that is really raring to go. They've been preparing for a while, and we pray that will go well. So all of you young people, all of you parents that are going, chaperones, thank you. And we are just proud of you, how much you have put into this, and pray that will go really well. And then in about 3 weeks, we have a big event coming up, our homecoming, celebrating our 85th anniversary as a congregation, and also Family and Friends Day. And that's gonna be a really big day. Actually, it begins on Saturday evening for an ice cream social downstairs. We invite you to come for that. And also on Sunday morning, we're going to have a big event. It'll be worship, as always. And then a meal downstairs to celebrate, and we want you to be there with us. We also have cards out at the visitors' counters, and these are postcards that announce the homecoming. If you've not already taken a few of those to give to friends or to send to somebody you know that is a former member here, please do that, and let's use all of those postcards to try to get more and more people here. But it's going to be a great day. This evening, we'll gather again for worship at 6 o'clock. I want you to be careful, and that's my message tonight. Be careful. It is a message from God's word. So if you're thinking about not coming tonight, be careful. If you're thinking you got other things that need to be done, be careful. I hope you're here this evening at 6 o'clock. Now let's get our Bibles open. Let's get into the word of God and learn more things that will help us be the kind of people God wants us to be. Let me ask you this. Is there a symbol that represents Christianity? A symbol that represents Christianity? And the first thought of many would be to say, well, look at that thing behind you, Tim, on the wall, the cross. And yes, that is a symbol of our faith. It is something that we honor and lift up high because Jesus came down from heaven and sacrificed himself as our atonement. And that is a symbol of our faith. But one of the earliest symbols of Christianity was the fish. And you see that depicted on the screen there. It was a very simple way to draw a fish, but it also had meaning for identifying a fellow believer. In those days, sometimes it was dangerous to be known as a Christian. And so they would meet somebody on the road and they would get to talking, and one of them would take their staff and draw in the sand an arc, half of the fish. And the other one, if they knew what that meant, if they were also a believer in Jesus Christ, they would take their staff or borrow the one that had just been used and draw the other arc and thus complete the idea. Yes, I am a Christian. And so that was a symbol of Christianity in the early days. The word symbolon in Greek is also a word that describes a creed. That's a word that a lot of us are not very familiar with. We've heard it a lot, but we don't know a lot about it. But it is a word that describes what we call a creed. And that, again, is much like drawing the fish in the sand. Is this somebody that really is a Christian? Is it somebody that I can trust as a fellow believer in Christ? And the creed was often put forth as a test, as a way of authenticating the faith of another person. Most denominations have some sort of a creed that they will follow and even will recite together on numerous occasions. We don't have anything like that, do we? Do we follow a creed in Churches of Christ here at Central? Do we have a creed? Good question. Let's talk about it for a few minutes from the Word of God. Now, first of all, let's have a brief understanding of creeds, and we'll throw in also confessions of faith. That's essentially the same idea. A brief understanding of creeds and confessions of faith. Now, first of all, generally talking about creeds, the word creed comes from the Latin credo, which means simply, I believe. What do you believe? Well, here's what I believe, and thus that becomes our creed. And there are attempts to capture the essence of the Christian faith. Not everything, but the essence of it. This is basically what we believe. In fact, many would point to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and say, well, right here, this is an early example of a creed. Paul wrote about it. And let's look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul said, great indeed we confess. There's that confession of faith, you might say. Great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. So what do you have there? What is that? Well, it is a recitation of certain facts about the life of Jesus Christ. And he says, he was manifested in the flesh. That's the idea of God coming down in a body of flesh, the incarnation, we might call it. Vindicated by the Spirit is another way of saying the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The people killed the physical body of Jesus, but he was vindicated by the Spirit and thus arose from the dead, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. He now reigns at the Father's side in heaven forever and ever. And so you might say, well, there is a creed. Or it might be a hymn that Christians sang in the early days. It's never called a creed by Paul, but it is a statement of certain things that we believe very strongly about Jesus Christ. Well, as Christianity spread, numerous errors began appearing. People began adding to the ideas that God had revealed. People began taking away ideas, and thus you got lots of false teaching that occurred in the early days of Christianity and has continued ever since, of course, and thus the need, many thought, for a creed. Let's devise some statement that will give the essence of our belief, and thus you have some of the major ones. Let's talk about two of the major ones that have appeared. The first of those is the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, it was adopted by the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Now notice, that's about 300 years after Jesus began his ministry. So, you know, there was a gap in time, but they say, we need to have a creed, we need to have a statement, and we will use this as somewhat of a litmus test. Are you really a Christian? Can we accept you in our fellowship? And then one that may be even more prominent is the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed, it was adopted, it appeared in the late 300s AD. Now that's even further in time than the Nicene Creed, but the idea was, well, the apostles, all 12 of them, contributed one of the articles of the faith. And again, this is something that we will use to measure somebody. Are you really a Christian? Do you really measure up? And let me just read this one to you so you have a basic understanding of what a creed is. It won't take long. The Apostles' Creed says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and Catholic there is a word that at the time meant universal. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And thus you have the complete Apostles' Creed. What did that take me? A couple of minutes? About that. But the idea was, here is something that we're going to adopt. We're going to use it as a standard. So if anybody comes along and says, I want to be a part of your church, well, let's pull this out. Let's hold them up to it. Do you agree with all of this? And if so, then we welcome you into our church. That was the purpose of a creed. You might say, well, Tim, what about our website? Have you noticed on our website we have this section called What Do We Believe? It's there in the green. Is that a creed? Is that what we've done by putting that on our website? Well, I would say it's not a creed. It's never been intended to be a creed. It's not a test of faith. It's simply a statement of, here are some of the things that we believe that might help you decide, is this a group of people that we want to affiliate with? Do we want to be part of this church, or is that totally against what we think? So the idea of creeds is simple, I think, but there are many churches that use it very vigorously, and in fact, they will even recite it on occasions. Well, let's talk now about, do we follow a creed? That's the question. Do we follow a creed? And to answer that, let me make this point, which is very clear, I think, in the Bible. Christ's intended standard of faith for his followers. In other words, Christ has a standard of faith that he intends for all of us to follow. What is that? Let me first take you to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2, here Paul is talking about how after his conversion to Christ, you remember for a long time he was very angry toward Christianity, he was a persecutor, even led to the death of many Christians, and then Christ encountered him on the road to Damascus. And 3 days later, he was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. And he's saying, after that, and in this context, he says, about 14 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. Why did you go to Jerusalem, Paul? Well, he tells us right here, Galatians 2 and verse 2. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel. I presented to them the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. Did you get that? Paul said, I wanted to make sure that what I was preaching to the Gentiles was right. Essentially, that's what he's saying. And gathered there in Jerusalem were the apostles, some or all of them, we don't know exactly, and the elders of the church there in Jerusalem. But Paul said, I wanted to make sure that what I was preaching was right, whether I needed to make any adjustments in what I was teaching, because this was all kind of new to Paul. Well, 14 years later, it probably wasn't. But the idea was, I want to make sure. Do I have an ability? And notice who he went to the apostles. And so I want to ask this question. Do we need the apostles' creed or the apostles' doctrine? Is that what we need, the apostles' creed or the apostles' doctrine? Now, the reason I say apostles' doctrine is because of something you find in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this is talking about the first Christians after Pentecost. There were about 3,000 that day that were baptized. And then it talks about how they conducted themselves from that day forward. And Luke says in Acts 2, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, these are things they were very devoted to. They wanted to make sure they did these things. And the first thing on the list, was this intentional? I think it probably was. Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Whatever the apostles taught, that's what I'm devoted to, they were saying in effect. Now, why was that? What was it about the apostles that made them so special, so worthy of being devoted to their teaching? Well, let's go back to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus, before ascending back to the Father in heaven, made this statement. He said first in verse 18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says to those apostles gathered with him, they were the apostles that were there that day, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus gave to the apostles the charge of teaching everything that he had taught them. And of course, he gave them the Holy Spirit to assist them in that. We learn from John chapter 14. But the idea is the apostles were the standard. They were given this ability to know all that God wanted the early church to know. And so no wonder the early Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching or the apostles' doctrine, doctrine being simply another word for teaching. And then you might notice also in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. Here the apostles have been arrested, all of them. All of them have been arrested in Jerusalem. They were put in jail and prison, and yet during the night, an angel comes and unlocks all the doors and releases the apostles. Now what? Well, this is what he says, Acts chapter 5 and verse 20. Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. This life, referring to the life of Jesus, no doubt, and to the life that Jesus gives to all of us who follow him. But the angel said, you are charged with speaking all the words of this life. So yes, the apostles play a large role in the teaching and the beliefs of the church. We are built on their foundation, we learn elsewhere in the New Testament. And so, do we take the apostles' creed, or do we take more generally the apostles' teaching? And then let's look at another way of considering this question. Do we look for a summary of Scripture? And that's what you might say a creed is, A creed is a summary of some of the major points that we believe, and that's valuable at times. Do we look to a summary of Scripture, or do we look to all of Scripture? Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Here's Paul gathered with the elders of the church at Ephesus. He's not going to see them again before he is arrested and likely executed in Rome. And he knows that. And he says, you know, he says a lot of things on this occasion, but listen to what he says in Acts 20, verse 27. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I declared you the whole counsel of God. Now, how long did that take him? Took me about 2 minutes to read the Apostles' Creed. He says elsewhere in that chapter, I believe in verse 31, I was with you 3 years in Ephesus. I was preaching to you the whole counsel of God. Yes, I probably repeated a lot of those things over and over again. They're worthy of repetition. But I wanted to give you everything, not just a summary. You need everything. And that's not an unusual statement. We know, I think, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul talking about Scripture. What is it? It's much more than an old book, much more than that. He says in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is breathed out by God, inspired by God, other translations will say, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So what do we need in order to be complete? All Scripture. All that has been breathed out by God, all that has been inspired by God. It's handy to have a summary, but I need everything. That's going to take some time, but I need everything that God has revealed to mankind. Peter says much the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, his divine power, Peter wrote, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And how do we get that? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And so again, he says, we can have life and godliness, but only if we're seeking the knowledge of all those things that pertain that God has given us. So again, yeah, it's good to have a summary now and then. That's what we do every time we gather. Actually, we summarize certain parts of our faith. But we're not just focused on some. We're focused on the entirety of God's word. Earlier, Dan read from Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And I want to go back to that for a minute, not because we're still under that covenant. We're not. But it shows the characteristic of God. This has always been God's way. Exodus 24, let's first of all read verses 3 and the first part of verse 4. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. Now, at that time, it was not nearly as much as we have today in the Bible. But Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. And then go down to verse 7. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient. That was a good decision on their part. Did they uphold it? Well, we could talk a long time about that. But the idea is, whatever God has said, we want to hear it. We want to do it. And that's still the same for us today. God has given us the Bible. God has given us his word that is for life and godliness, that is designed to make us complete for every good work. Are we seeking to know all of it, or are we content with just a summary? God wants us to know it all. In fact, what I'm doing right now, it's just a summary of some of the teachings of the Bible. I mean, if you want all of it, well, unpack and settle in, because we're going to be here for a while. But we do it over and over again, trying to go from one place in the Bible to another, and gradually over a period of time, do a comprehensive survey of what the Bible teaches. But you see, we want it all. We are going to be judged by all of the Word of God. We need all of it, not just part of it. And so while the creeds may have a good place, and the idea was good, no, we need all the Word of God. The Bible is our creed. I believe what? I believe whatever the Bible says that I should believe. And thus, that is my creed. R. Albert Mohler wrote in LifewayResearch.com in March of 2019, 7 reasons the Apostles' Creed is needed in the church. Let me just read the first 4 of the reasons he gives. He says, for example, creeds define the truth. Creeds correct error. Creeds provide rules and standards for God's people. Creeds teach the church how to worship and confess the faith. And as I read those, I thought, I think the Bible already does that. It does all of that and more. So why do we need the creed? The Bible gives us everything. And so a slogan often heard among those in the Restoration Movement has been, no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. Because if the creed has less than what the Bible teaches, I want everything. And if the creed has more than what the Bible says, I don't want that. That's not what God gave us. So the question, do we follow a creed? Yes, we do. The Bible. The New Testament is the pertinent part for us today who live in the New Covenant. But all the Bible is valuable for showing us God's ways and the kind of God we serve. This morning I wonder, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that you're going to live beyond this life? Do you believe that your life after this life is going to be good and pleasant and joyful? It can be that way. Christ came to give us that life, life in abundance, life even here on earth that is abundant. And so today, if you're not a Christian, I urge you to become a Christian by obeying the gospel that is revealed in the New Testament. It can be summed up very briefly by saying, you need to hear about Jesus. Of course, that's why we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you have to make a decision. Do I believe that he is the Son of God, more than just a great man? Do I believe that? And if I believe that, then I have to come to another decision. Do I follow him and thus repent of anything that he tells me is a sin? Will I leave it behind or keep on embracing sin? And if I believe in him, should I not confess it before others, tell others I believe in him? And should I not obey the Lord himself when he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? Have you been baptized? Can we help you with that if you believe and are ready to turn away from sin? And all of us who have done those things, have we been faithful? Or do we need to repent of sins that we've committed and pray for forgiveness? Do we just feel weak and need prayers from our family in Christ? If we can help you in any of these ways, let us know as we stand together and sing.
I was sinking deep in sin on the peaceful shore. Very deep we sank within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
always makes us happy to introduce new people to our family here at Central, and that's what we're doing now. Ken and Sarah Boggs have been visiting with us in recent weeks, and their sons, Austin and Morgan, they have been worshiping with us. And then recently they said, we've decided we want to make this our home. They've been worshiping with the Stony Creek Church of Christ, which I think is about an hour from where they live, and we're about half that distance, so we're going to try hard not to be half the congregation that Stony Creek has been. But Ken and Sarah would like to be identified with us. They've met with some of our elders this morning and passed the test, I guess we could say. But we're happy to welcome them. Ken and Sarah and Austin, Morgan, would you all stand for just a moment and let everybody identify you and welcome you into the body here at Central. So glad to have you among us, and look forward to getting to know you much better. Thank you. And then if you ever wonder about the power of prayer, just about this time last week, a little bit earlier in the day perhaps, Ricky Seaton was in a helicopter being flown from Greenville to Johnson City Medical Center with a heart attack. And we took time to pray for him, and guess what? Look who's here with us this morning. Ricky, raise your hand back there. We won't ask you to stand. That's too much stress on the heart. But praise God. It's just amazing that he's back out so quickly after having surgery to put in a stent, and very thankful that God has blessed him in this way. But we're going to go to God right now and pray for these. Lord, thank you for the love that lifts us. Lord, you're so gracious. We have sinned. We have rebelled against your will. And yet, Father, you have welcomed us back to your side because of Jesus. His blood has cleansed us from our sins. And Father, we thank you for all the blessings that come from that, for the blessing of family that we have in the church. And we thank you, Father, that Ken and Sarah have come our way, and Austin and Morgan. We're just so thankful, Lord, that they are now a part of our family, and we look forward to getting to know them and welcoming them into our family. Help us, Lord, to help each other, and may we shine a brighter light because of their presence. And Father, thank you for the blessing of prayer in our family, for hearing our prayers, and particularly for hearing our prayers for Ricky. It was so concerning last week, Father. We were so troubled. And yet, Lord, here he is with us today. Oh, your power is great, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for all the blessings you give us. Be with us, Father. May our light shine bright, and your name be glorified in this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing Highly Exalted.
You were despised, you were rejected for those who passed by, even the burden their case from the side. Such was the suffering you bore for us.
anyone needs communion, if you could raise your hand, and Jason in the back can help you with that. Okay. One of the assignments that I give to one of my classes at school is I have them write from a person's perspective from the cross to the resurrection. And they say, well, Mr. Ryan, there's not, you know, not everything is there in the scriptures. And I said, well, what do you think they would have thought? And so, for example, we might think about, what about from one of the thief's perspectives, one of the thieves on the cross? How would they have been interpreting this situation? Think about the thief who entered paradise from the cross to the resurrection, and then to see Jesus go back to earth. What an interesting perspective, right? What about from Satan's perspective? I got him. He's down. He's dead. But then what happened 3 days later? I wonder what Satan was saying on that day. And so over the next week, today is recognized as Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry that we read about in John. And what I would encourage you to do is pick somebody from Scripture. Think about how they would have processed this week. Today, hey, Jesus is going to kick out the Romans, right? We're finally going to get Israel and Jerusalem back the way it once was. But was that Jesus' real plan? No. But today, as we think about the communion and the days leading up to it, the days leading up to the death of Christ, I want us to think about and go back to those two people on the cross. Jesus there in the middle. On the one hand, the person who says, I believe. On the other hand, the one who says, I don't. And even in his death, what does Jesus offer us? Two ways. So which do we choose? The only reason why we make it to heaven is because of what he has done, and not we ourselves. So let's go to God and thank him for that opportunity. Our Father in heaven, we get so caught up oftentimes in the things that are going on in our world, in our own heads. We get very self-focused. Sometimes we become self-righteous. And Father, we think sometimes that we're good enough. But Father, what you've demonstrated to us is that we're not. We cannot do this on our own. And Father, we hurt because it took the death of your Son to fix what we could not. But Father, we are so thankful that you did it. And Father, I pray that this morning that you will help us to be like the thief on the cross that accepted the sacrifice, that recognized the Son of God. Father, I pray that you will help us to be like those that after the resurrection, that it was such a life-changing moment, that they saw that you were true, that they saw that you had a plan. And Father, because of that, their lives were radically changed. Father, I pray that you will help us to live radically changed lives because of what your Son did for us. And Father, we thank you for that perfect life that he lived. Father, he spoke no evil. He did no evil. He thought no evil. And Father, we oftentimes can't even go an hour without doing so. And so, Father, we thank you for his body. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer again. Father, this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of your Son. Father, what a magnificent sacrifice. The spear that was driven into his side. The blood and the water flowing out. And Father, we are just amazed at how you were willing to give up your Son. The fact that you allowed him to experience what he did with the pain and the suffering. Father, we thank you for his willingness to experience that. And Father, as he was up on the cross, quoting from Psalm 22, knowing and trusting in you that you were going to raise him with your Holy Spirit. Father, what a magnificent image of the Trinity at work. And so, Father, we thank you for this cleansing power that your Son provides us. We thank you for the baptism in which we get to experience that cleansing and then the continual regeneration that we get to experience on a daily basis as we walk in the light. Because, Father, nothing else, no one else, no other sacrifice could accomplish that except for your Son. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now is the time where we consider the offering that we give. And as I've mentioned before, our offering is much more than just on a Sunday morning. And I know that about this congregation. And, you know, we no longer pass around the trays like we used to. The baskets now sit in the back. We can now give online. We can give in a ton of different ways. And what a blessing that God has allowed for that, isn't it? The fact that he offers us that free will to give. He doesn't give a set number, give 5% or 10% or 15% of the gross or the net or anything like that. Instead, he says, if you believe and if you trust, your life is a living sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for all that you've provided us to be stewards over. Father, you have given us opportunities with jobs, with friends, with family, co-workers. And Father, you have told us to go and to do good. Father, the light that we shine, may it not reflect anything about us insofar as to who we are. But Father, may all of this that we do bring glory to you, and may it illuminate the people around us as to your goodness. Father, we know that you are light, that you are good. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to represent you here on earth with the deeds that we can do for you. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Holy Father, we praise your name above all others. We bow before you now, recognizing your love, your mercy, and your grace. You know our hearts. You know those who can be joyful at this time. You know of those that might be struggling. You know of those who need the comfort that only you can give. Help us, Father. You are our loving and caring Father. Forgive us when we sin. Strengthen us to be champions for the faith, not for our glory, but for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The church office will close at noon on Thursday, April the 17th, and will be closed on Friday, April 18th, for Good Friday. They will return on Monday, April 21st. Central has supported the Tennessee Children's Home work for many years. They will send a truck to our area to collect the supplies that they need for their ongoing work. If you choose to help, bring your gifts to the building by Sunday, April 27th. There will be a gift card shower for Jacob Mahaley and Marley Henniger now and through the end of April. They would like gift cards from Amazon and Target. A basket will be on the Welcome Center counter for gift cards located in that area of the building. A baby shower will be hosted here today at the building for Josh and Emily Francis from 2 to 4. Emily is registered at Amazon, and the hostesses are Tammy Williams, Lucy Jernigan, and Renee Gillum. There will be a baby shower for Chris and Mariel Donnell on Saturday, April 26th at 3 p.m. at 101 Harvey Lane, Johnson City, Tennessee. In lieu of gifts, there will be a money tree for the Donnell family. Central will host an annual graduation for DRC on the evening of April 15th, which is coming up. To honor the graduates, we will serve a graduation luncheon at noon on that day. We still need 6 quarts of strawberries and 4 bunches of green seedless grapes for Tuesday. Please sign up on the announcement board and have your food items at the building by today. If anyone has plans for an archive display for the 85th anniversary celebration on May 3rd and 4th, please contact Catherine Albertson to coordinate our efforts. If you have photos or items that you would like to display, please clearly label them with your name and indicate whether you would like them returned to you. Digging Deep Ladies Bible Study will suspend their meeting on Monday, April 14th, and will meet only once in April on April 28th. Speak with Debbie Ingram if you have any questions. Washed in the Word will meet on Thursday at 10 a.m. Please remember these in prayer. The family and friends of Kerry V. continue to mourn his passing last Friday. They will receive friends tomorrow evening beginning at 6 here in the building with memorial service at 7. Keep Deborah and all the family in your prayers. Dave T. is at home recovering from a kidney infection, and Kathy T. has either pneumonia or bronchitis. Joanna has asked for our prayers for their healing. Finally, Asa, twin sister of James Hunt, has 2 broken ribs, and James has asked for our prayers for healing and comfort. And now with the final announcement, I suppose, and dismissal, be Josh.
I told Randy I had one more announcement. He's like, the announcement sheet's this long. Are you serious? I'll try to do my best. I'm just going to read what I have so I don't just ramble. This is for VBS. Have you ever wondered what it's like to be on top of Mount Carmel back when Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal? Have you ever wondered what it was like to spend 3 days and nights in the belly of a giant fish? Imagine being cured of leprosy just by dipping into that muddy old Jordan River. What was it like to be a prophet of God when his own chosen people weren't always willing to listen? This summer, you're invited to help our children answer such questions. On 4 evenings this June, beginning Sunday, June 22nd, and ending Wednesday, June 25th, our vacation Bible school is Walking with the Prophets. This year, we offer a living Bible school where teachers and teens alike will dress in Bible time garb and engage our children and community in biblical fun and learning. There's a lot of expertise needed. I need yours. We need costumes, actors, set designers, class leaders, script writers, refreshment workers, and enthusiastic creative people. Teens will not be assigned in a standard classroom because they're going to be helpers this year. We need them to help make this experience more memorable. Sign-ups are now open for anyone interested in the foyer. The sheets are color-coded depending on whether the job is for a teen or an adult. Please see me for any additional information. When it comes to volunteering this year for VBS, be like the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah, where it says, "Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" So here you are. The foyer is right there. Grab you a pen. You are dismissed.